Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Amen. You may be seated, congregation. The last time I was here, Pastor's hair was as glorious as it is now. And I'm just telling you straight out, it is wonderful, isn't it? You'd almost think it was Moses up there. It's just, I don't know if Moses had hair that good, but I just want you to know this man looks like the fourth part of the Trinity. Come on, somebody, amen. It's just, and I'm saying that because it's amazing the things you can say when you're visiting, amen? Because I don't have to deal with what I said on Monday, but Pastor will have to deal with the things that I say today, this week. So let's pray for Pastor. Just kidding. It's going to be fine. What an honor it is to be here again at this great house. And, you know, on the way, we've been up in the area for about a week now, ministered in Olds last weekend. And then my family and I went to Banff, which again is, if only the world, is such a beautiful part of the world, and it's just amazing. And then we went on to Kelowna to be with family. But in the car, we were singing some worship stuff, and my wife just took off getting physical in the car. She just started, it started in the garden, but it ended in the city. Her hands are going like this, you know. And by the way, I have a 6 and an 8-year-old, and I'm 58, so let's pray. Would someone send a hand my direction right now? I need physical strength to deal with a 6-year-old boy. I'm 58 with a 6-year-old. Again, intercession is required. Please send it this direction. When you have a 6-year-old boy, it's a physical relationship, isn't it? I mean, Dad, let's fight. And that's all he wants to do is fight. And it's not because he's angry. It's because he's a man. It's called healthy male aggression. So don't bug me. It's a good thing. I love the fact my son wants to fight, because if I don't fight, he will get angry, and then we have another issue, which is much more lethal than a boy who just wants to fight. And so my boy, let's fight. My daughter is 8. She tries to fight. It doesn't go over well. She just doesn't want to fight the same way. But I play camel, and I get on my hands and knees, and they get on me, because camels often have 2 humps. They're the humps, and I have to be the camel. And this is my life. Again, let's pray and intercede for the preacher who needs to keep his health over the next decade as I get ready to enter into some pretty exciting years. But we were singing, and it started in the garden, but it ended in the city. And we're singing, and my kids start doing it. They start rocking and rolling with us in the car, because I refuse not to have fun with the things of God. And I think it's a sin not to have fun in the house of the Lord. And so I declare to you, go and sin no more. That every time we come into the house of the Lord, we feel His glory and His presence. Amen? So I'd like to affirm a few things about Christ City. It started in the garden, but it ended in the city. Maybe that's where I got the thought there of Christ City Church. But what started in the garden needs to be ending here in the city. Things of the Spirit need to be taking place here that it needs to come to the city. Come on, in the name of Jesus. And I've got good news. I've got good news. You're doing a few things right. Now let me tell you one of them from my perspective, because I travel the nation, and age-segregated environments are becoming more and more prevalent. Age-segregated environments where we separate the ages. What could be worse than putting a bunch of 18-year-olds in the same room? How crazy are we? And often when we come into the house of the Lord, we separate at the door, because we're kind of reflecting culture. I grew up in a church that used the altar and the aisles as much as we ever used pews. I grew up being in the house of the Lord with my parents, and so I just want to affirm to every grandparent, parent, single parent, blended family, whatever the case may be, When you bring the younger generation into the house to worship with you like you just did, it's good. It's healthy. It's wonderful. And in fact, if they don't even understand what you're doing, who careth? Since when did that matter? You are kickstarting their spirit. And one of these days, that kickstart is going to ignite. No electric start here, just kickstart. And as we prime their spirit for the things of God, I'm speaking as a man of God right now. I'm speaking not only as a man who found God early and have never left him, but now I'm speaking as a father who has a 6 and 8-year-old and we're leading them in that same direction. And so I just want to honor you as Christ City. Don't get too cool. Don't get so relevant that you're irrelevant. Continue to be holy counterculturals who do stuff that the world would not make sense of in the natural. I was in the prayer meeting today, and again, it's just a wonderful experience to come here because I get to pray like I used to pray in Central here in Edmonton in the 70s. And as we began to worship the Lord, which is a staple of this house, and it's a tradition of this house. And tradition is a good word. Traditionalism is a downgrade. Race is a good word. Racism isn't. And so, if we stay with healthy tradition and feed it with the living word of God and a living model of an example to our kids, they will be changed. So in the prayer room, I saw a little boy, little black guy, sitting there reading his Bible. And I wish I had my phone, but I've got it now, so get ready. This is my weapon against the enemy, because I post stuff that he has to deal with. Bang! As young lives are being raised in the ways of the Lord. You know, Mom and Dad, I don't believe your kids have to return to Jesus. I believe they can find him and never leave. And some would say, well, that sounds a little boring. That sounds a little typical. Righteous rule keepers. The truth is that you don't have to find God, then leave him and come back. You can if you want. He's ready for you. But you'll end up with a situation. And so I declare in the name of the Lord, can I say this over every parent now and every guardian in the house? Your kids will never return to the Lord because they're never leaving. Now, what I just said has weight to it for no other reason than I found God early and I've never left him. And I'm not even boring. People get the idea, if you've never left God, you're kind of a rule-keeping, marginalized piece of work. You're just kind of there. Well, I declare that the Spirit of Jesus at 12 rests upon your children. Because when Jesus was 12, he found the things of his Father in such a powerful way. And he spent 21 years fulfilling it. And he was absolutely, righteously flamboyant for the glory of God. Sinners were attracted. Kids couldn't get away from him. I'll know how much Jesus is in you by how many kids don't run from you. Now, some of you are saying, well, it's not my personality to like kids. Well, come on. Come on. Kids need to feel like they can feel comfortable around you. And he set a child among them. So I'm not here to just talk or give a great little outline. I'm here to bring what I believe affirmation into a house that is unique in the community. Be who you are. Continue to worship with an atmosphere of soaking in His presence. And may the Word of God become living and active in our lives in greater ways than it ever has before. Pastor Jen was talking to me before the service about how you have such a passion to get God's Word into your kids. And if you think this thing is popular because it's easy reading, you don't understand this book. How many have discovered it is not easy reading? But yet it's the best seller in the world. And that's because it's living and active and sharper than a sword. I've become so enamored by this book over the decades that I've actually created a coloring book now of God's Word. It's called Godward Art. And kids are coloring the Word. Because it may be black and white to you, but it needs to come alive in the spectrum of the color of the revelation that's found therein. And so I just love to color. And some of you are going, well, real men don't color. Well, go get a bunch of lead pencils then, boring guy. Do what you want, but I'm going to color. And I'm going to color wherever I'm at. And I'm going to get into the Word and color so that I can find clarity and content by coloring God's Word. That's just a new product we have available. Because I want your table to be filled with color. Because the most important piece of furniture in your home is not the big screen, and y'all know that. The most important piece of furniture in your home is not the bed. The most important piece of furniture in your home is the table, because that's where you meet to eat. And it's time for us to eat His Word at a whole new level. So my kids are coloring. How many want a little bit what's on me on you? Some of you are going, oh, let me think about that. Father, in the next few minutes, because I've come not to just give a message that's been said before, but I've come to be a living, breathing word into Christ's city today. I thank you for what you're doing this morning. I thank you for what you're going to do tonight, Lord. Take your word and make it living and active, we pray now. Lord, give us revelation right now into your wonderful word in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Now, I want you all to help me if you would. And I want you just to go with me because this is how I communicate and frankly how God uses me. And if you don't let me be me, God will not show up. So let's just let me be me and let you have fun being a childlike spirit this morning. I want y'all to go from the A to the S to the K. Do it. From the A to the S to the K. Come on. From the A to the S to the K. That's not good enough. One more time. From the A to the S to the K. One more time. From the A to the S to the K. And please put up with me one more time with a little more emphasis, slower. From the A to the S to the K. Now, if it looks like I'm having fun up here all by myself, I am. Because when you're filled with the Spirit, you don't care who's joining you. You're just filled with the glory of the Lord and the joy of the Lord, which happens to be our strength. Now, y'all know, if you thought about it long enough, that that spelled something. And some of you are going, don't insult us. We already figured that out. From the A to the S to the K spells ask. And the older I get, the more convinced I've become that God is not wondering where He's at. He's wondering where I'm at. God has never asked Himself the question, I wonder if I'm committed. I'm struggling with whether I'm committed or not, saith the Lord. He's never been confused about His posture or His place or His commitment. He's just wondering where we're at. And so we ask the question, what is the will of God for my life? And God asks the question back, what is the will of you for your life? I need something to work with. Now, please understand that the will of the Lord is sovereign and it's powerful. And frankly, the will of the Lord for you is what you want. It could be that you're a little slow. It could be that you're just not aware of the fact that what God has for you is really what you have for you deep down in your spirit. The will of God is not something you need to run from. It's something you need to embrace because it's the best, most great place that you'll ever be. But let's go back to the Word of God here and take a look at the power of ask. I'm going to read the scripture and you can join me if you would. If you want, let's read together. Let's just read God's word together. Let's begin. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. Let's continue to read. I say to you, though he will not rise, and could we stop there? When it says ask or asks, let's say it with a strong sound, okay? Let's begin again. I say to you, though he will not rise and give him to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask! And it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door it will be opened. Let's continue to read. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And so this morning, we've read the Word of God, folks. And if you notice in that, there's a lot of asks. Because God really is interested in your asking. Now, if you're a servant of the Lord only, you are task-oriented. But if you become a friend of God, you're more ask-oriented. You really want to be around people who are ask-oriented instead of simply task-oriented. Have you ever met one of those Christians? Everything is a task. Everything's a should. As I was coming in this morning to set up our table in the back, a gentleman was working out there. I think Brian is his name. And Brian drives 2 hours one way to be here every week. And I realized that this man is not task-oriented. This man probably is ask-oriented. He really believes that the Father is longing for someone to ask him for the nations. And so I said to the gentleman, I said, sir, you are not here because you should be. You don't drive 2 hours because of should. That will get old. As a matter of fact, if you should, you eventually won't. If you should honor the Lord, if you should give, if you should come and be with the body of Christ, you eventually will not keep doing it because should never gets done. Ultimately. The only thing that gets done is the I Must Spirit. So I gave him one of my wristbands because I love the I Must Spirit. So Brian's got his I Must wristband on because he must be about his Father's business. You see, I know that God is really wondering where we're at more than where he's at, because it says this in John chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, This is the Lord speaking, Mr. Omniscient, knows everything, speaking to a man on a cot for 38 years, and he says to the man, rise and be healed. No, no, no. Jesus is way too insightful for that. He asked him the skill testing question. Do you want to be made well? Because anybody that's been in this condition this long may not want to get out of this condition at all. So you see, when I look at your life and I see a long disobedience in the wrong direction, the question is one I need to ask you and that the Lord would ask you and the Lord would say to you, do you really want to be made well? And so what did the man say? He says what we all say. He pivoted. He did not answer. He was like a politician who doesn't know yes or no when a question's asked. He simply looked at God and said, ain't no one around to put me out. And he came off with an excuse. Because that's what we all do when we've gone in the wrong direction for a long time. We've got reasons. And they're all about somebody else. They're never about us. But the truth is, they're all about us, aren't they? And Jesus decided to, you know, overcome his answer and says, well, rise. Get up and be made well. The man got up, man, just bang, he got up. Because Jesus, wherever he went, he just overcame even our stupid. Come on, somebody, amen. He just kind of like overcame that guy's situation. And I don't blame the man. There was a legitimate excuse. No one's here to. I'm not here to beat up on the man. I'm just telling you, my God says, do you want to be made well? Not only that, but there's another one where the two men, the two blind men. So Jesus stood in Matthew chapter 20, verse 32. So Jesus stood still because they were making so much noise. Jesus stood still and said, and this is so wonderful. This is our Lord. He's looking at these two blind, and he says to them, what do you want me to do for you? Man, God, let me off the hook. Tell me what to do for me. Treat me like a baby. Change my socks. Do my underwear. Do it all, Almighty God, because I'm never going to grow up. So the Lord would say to you and me this morning, Holy Spirit, speak to us now. What do you want me to do for you? Let's go back to the A, to the S, to the K. It's interesting that in Scripture we read, ask and it shall be given unto you. S, seek and you shall find. K, knock, and the door shall be open. Do you see there's a progression here? And so, Holy Spirit, speak to us now. The first thing that the Lord records here is, and it's in red, so I know it's Jesus speaking, ask and it will be given. So the first question the Lord has for all of us, or the first command, the first directive, is this, simply, ask. And let me tell you what, there's some very irresponsible verses in the Bible like this. Ask whatever you want, it shall be done unto you. If that doesn't sound irresponsible, I don't know what is. God, you should never put that in the Bible. Don't you know there's flakes around? People that will not understand that that's really a test. I'm going to prove it's a test. You know what God says to all of us? Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Who did Jesus or God ask this question to? His name was Solomon. And Solomon had just sacrificed 1,000 burnt offerings. And you think church is long here? Just thought I'd throw that in. 1,000 offerings. Something tells me we missed lunch. But that was the night that God was so impressed by the passion for the presence of God found in young Solomon. That the Lord came to Solomon that night and the Lord simply asked this, ask. What shall I do for you? Or what shall I give you? And we think that's a free ticket. It's a test. Because when God says anything you want, you can have, it's really an x-ray of your heart. Solomon thought about it. He says, well, you've given my father the kingdom, you gave him, and you have given me this wild and crazy group of people. I'm paraphrasing. You've given me this amazing group of people called your the Israelites. And so, okay, anything? Okay. Boy, anything. Oh, I just wipe out my enemies. Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. Give me just a pile of margin in my life so when I get sick and tired of this group, I can get my assistants to look after it. Just whatever the case may be, money, fame. Give me fame. And then he got smart. He says, give me wisdom. And let me tell you, the greatest thing you'll ever ask for in life is not a babe on your shoulder. Or where do you put her? You put her on your shoulder. That would hurt. Okay. Yeah. I mean, the most important thing you'll ever ask for is not a thriving business. The most important thing you will not ask for is anything that is to your comfort. The greatest thing you will ever ask for is nothing more than the ability to see life and everything from his perspective, which is wisdom. And so this is what Saul said. Sorry, not Saul. He didn't go that direction. Solomon said, give me wisdom. And the Lord got so pumped. He says, let me just add to that. Let me give you fame like it's never been known. Let me give you riches like it's never been known. God just started piling on. Because if you start with wisdom, all these things shall be added unto you. So I think that Solomon was a wise asker. Boy, wouldn't it be cool if it could just stay there? Ask. But that isn't what Jesus said. He then went on and says, don't just go big. Now I want you to seek. Go deep. You see, when you ask God for the nations, when you ask God for wisdom, don't think you're going to get it just because you asked for it. God's way too wise for that. He's going to say, it's time to seek. Seek and you shall find. Now let me share with you somebody that was a good seeker. His name is Elijah. God had just spoken to Elisha and told Elisha, you're done. I want you to pass your mantle to Elijah. Elijah. Oh, man, could I just, 2 Kings, check this out. 2 Kings, oh. Chapter 2. And it came to pass when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Then Elijah said to Elisha, you see, when you read the Bible, you're supposed to have fun. Would somebody start being funful? It's not a word. Would you please read it and enjoy? Then Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel. He's trying to ditch him. He's ditching them. He's checking them up. Because it ain't good enough to just ask. It is not good enough to just ask. I said ain't. I didn't mean to say ain't. I'm in Canada. There's more culture here. I'm from Oklahoma. We talk different. It's good to be in Canada. But Elisha says, as the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. Here's Elijah trying to ditch Elisha. I didn't get him there. Oh, Elijah then said to Elisha, you know, the Lord has sent me, I think it's to the next place, which was Jericho. The Lord has sent me to Jericho. So why don't you just hang out here? And he says the exact same words. As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. I will drive 2 miles to 2 hours to get there. He couldn't ditch him. Third time. I'm going to the Jordan to do some. The Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said to him, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So the two of them went together. And verse 9, check it out. So it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask! What may I do for you? I'm a sensing this prophet's a little ticked off because he's feeling a little bad that maybe he's getting out of the ministry now and here's this young gun coming up. I can't seem to get rid of the guy. He's qualifying because he's accepted in the beloved, but now he's getting endorsed for service, which is a whole new level. You see, you're all accepted. We're all accepted in the beloved, but to be endorsed for something great requires a seeker's heart, and an I will not leave you until you bless me. And at that point, Elisha said to Elijah, I want double. And in the Hebrew, it means, I want a mouthful of what you got. I want a mouthful of what you have. I want double the anointing that's on you. And guess what Elijah said to Elisha? You have asked a hard thing. So we got a wise asker, and now we have a guy who asks hard. You got to do hard things. You see, if ask reveals your motive, like Solomon, S, seek, will reveal your measure, the measure of your calling. Now, I want to give you a break here for some of you that are saying, listen, I don't want to be Billy Graham. I don't even want to be past. I don't want to be any. I don't want to be like Pastor Ryan. I just want to be. Well, what's your measure, man? Don't fulfill half your measure. Be sure you fulfill all of your measure. For Romans 12:2 says, God has given us all a measure of faith. From the A to the S to the K. Knock, and it shall be open. Does anybody need some open doors? Is there anybody here that cues some open doors in your life? One of the most beautiful example of open doors is the life of Esther. You know the story. Esther was a Jewish girl raised in a foreign land. And King Xerxes was the king. And it's amazing. He was over 127 provinces. He threw a party for his whole kingdom. and his wife threw another party in another area. At the end of 7 days, he was a little drunk, and he said, "Get my wife in here and let the world see her beauty." And she refused. It wasn't a good day. It was a crazy culture. We don't even, can't even comprehend the way that people were treated back then. Men, women, slaves, free. That's not my message today. That's way too deep for me right now. But she refused, and the king lost it, had her banished. Some say, Jewish tradition says, head on a platter. We don't know. I don't know. All I know is they came up with a plan. They says, let's just get all the beautiful women of the land, whoever we can find, and just put them in a beautification. And all the women here are going, God help us if we could only have that time again. You know how much your spa costs? This thing would have been unbelievable in its cost. 1 year of beautification. How many ladies are saying, I was born in the wrong season? I mean, seriously, folks, it was unbelievable the amount of work they put into beautifying these ladies. And you know what happened, don't you? There was a guy named Mordecai. Is it Mordecai or Mordecai? Does anybody know? Because my daughter rebuked me last week when I said Mordecai. My daughter's 8. She says it's Mordecai. Dad, we'll talk about that later. I've now made it public, Gabrielle. I don't know where you are. You're here somewhere, but we will deal with it later. I'm going to call him Mordecai. Oh, there you are. Thank you, honey. Should we go with Mordecai or Mordecai, Gabrielle? Okay, Mordecai. Thank you very much. Yeah, it's been settled. Oh, yes, Mordecai. Mordecai was kind of like Brian. Mordecai was off the hook in his compulsion for the ways of God and the glory of God and the honor of God. The Jewish people are one amazing group of people. There's way less of them than their impact. They should not have the impact they have based on their numbers. But because they have traditions that they keep, their influence is staggering. That's the truth. And the evangelical church could learn some things about how to have influence in culture by the things we will not put up with. Not out of a religious negative spirit, but out of a joyful love and honor for God. Amen, Pastor. Mordecai. Sorry, honey. Mordecai was taking care of her. He was like an uncle. He was taking care of her. Her parents had died. Esther's parents had died. And she came before the king, and the king went, oh, well, absolutely, you are amazing. And that was the end of it. She was now married and the queen of the kingdom. Well, I got to move quickly here, but what happened was she kept her Jewish history secret. Mordecai told her to do that. But there was a man that two of the king's eunuchs, two of his servants, came up with a plan to kill the king. This is about 4 or 5 years into Esther's reign. Made up a plan to kill the king. Mordecai heard of it. Some scholars say they were mad at the king because he had raised up Mordecai into a greater position. They were feeling a little pressure. Mordecai heard of it. This is the word of the Lord for somebody. I want you to know things have happened in your past that are setting you up for a phenomenal future. Things have already happened that you can't undo that are providing the platform for God to do some great things in your life. And they don't have to be victories. They could be challenges and negatives that took place, and God's going to turn a tragedy into a triumph. Mordecai went to Esther and said, you can't believe this, but there's these two guys and they want to kill the king. Esther, the new queen, 4 or 5 years into it, went to the king and says, King, I've just found out from Mordecai, that there's two guys that want to kill you. He found out it was true, hung them on the gallows. Let's continue. But then the king hired this guy named Haman. Haman, who was a dirty, rotten kind of a dude. Not very nice to those Jewish people. He hated them. Well, what was Mordecai doing? He was sitting at the gate. And when Haman come by, everyone, not Mordecai. He drove 2 hours. I'm not moving because I don't worship men. How's it going, Haman? Have a good day. Haman was so mad. He was so mad that he went to the king. And he said to he said to the king, there's this guy. They will not bow down to me. And the king gave him permission to not only get rid of that guy, but get rid of all the Jews in all of the provinces. And they came up with a plan. And Haman said, I'll even finance it. I will finance it. I want to get rid of all these Jewish people. You know, if Mordecai would have just stood up and played along. Yeah. Played along. He wouldn't have created this situation. But he had to go and not bow. And so now a whole generation of Jews are on the verge of extinction. And at that point, Mordecai sent word to Esther, because Esther knew there was something going on. Something's going on in the kingdom. They're freaking out. Susha's freaking out. The citadel's freaking out. There's some kind of an edict has gone forward. And she did what we all do. She kind of just, hey, that's happening out there. Come on, how many know we all do it? That's happening over there. Let me keep getting a bigger big screen. Who cares? The world is going to hell, but at least I'm safe. Our dollar's bad, but who cares? She did that for a little bit until Uncle Mordecai got in her face, says, hey, Miss Queen. Yeah. Well, you know, if you just don't make a big deal about this, then I want you to know that God's going to raise somebody up some other way, because God's God, and your family will probably get wiped out. So, hey. And then he looked at her and he sent message, who knows if you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Because it's never about you. Is anything ever about you? Is anything ever about me? It's never about me. It's never about me. It's about it. And when I worship the God who gave it to me to deal, I will be glorified. He will be glorified and I will be fulfilled. This is the way life works. And so she came about. She locked into, I'll drive 2 hours. And I know I'm having fun with that. Please, if I go overboard on that, just forgive me. I might. But she says, go and tell Mordecai. Get everyone to fast and pray. And all my servants, we will all fast and pray. And after 3 days of fasting and prayer, night and day, I will go before the king. And the word is, if I go before the king without him asking for me, it's death. Can you believe this? Unless he holds out the golden scepter and then then I get to live. Crazy times. And so the whole place went into fasting. 3 days later, she put on her good, beautiful clothes. And she came in without an invitation. Because sometimes you just need to knock. Some of you are so in prayer, you don't have a hope.
Because all you're doing is praying. You're afraid to go knock on a door. You're afraid to go. You're afraid to go. I'm going to say it right now. You're afraid to make it happen because you got fears. You got fears. Oh, they won't accept me. It'll be a closed door. And you get all weirded out because the mountain that stops you will be the mountain that defines you. You will be defined by the thing that stopped you. Oh, two bad calls. I'm done. Oh, wow. There's no future for you. You got to be a midnight knocker. Like the story we read. So in she comes. Because something tells me that if you've asked big and you've sought deep, then you knock with confidence. In walks Esther the queen. And the king goes, oh, wow. Ooh. I get to live. It's a happy day. She comes in before the king. And the king says, ask half the kingdom. She looked at the king. And she was a smart asker. She looked at the king and she says, could we have lunch? Let's have lunch. You, me, and Haman. Let's have lunch. Doesn't sound like a big ask to me, but it was a smart one. Because she knows, for some reason, God's up to something, and what I need to ask for right now is lunch. Not my people's salvation. Because God's working it. Haman's filled with flesh. He cannot stand it that Mordecai has not bowed down to him. He can't stand that guy. But why just God asked for lunch? By the queen. She has lunch with the queen. He has lunch with the king. He starts heading home. He's so excited because he's a flesh-driven man. I just had lunch with the king and queen. I'm a name-dropping piece of work. Heading home, just elated, high on the flesh. And there's Mordecai. How was lunch? How was lunch, sir? Mordecai. Goes home. Starts whimpering to his wife. Honey, I can't believe it. I got lunch today with the king and the queen. But that Mordecai guy, he just would not. Oh, I'm just beside myself. He was just a piece of flesh. And his wife, she wasn't any. She says, hey, you build a gallows. Let's hang the dude. Go. When you go in tomorrow, because you've been asked back for lunch, when you go in tomorrow, ask the king to hang him. So what happens that night? How many know God can do what he wants? Come on, somebody. How many know God can do exactly what he wants? How many know God can stop people from sleeping? He can open up the king's heart. And so what he did at that point is he woke up the king, and the king couldn't sleep. And the king says, could somebody just get me a record of past wrongs done to me and rights done to me? Would somebody go get that book? They brought the book before the king, and lo and behold, Mordecai came up in the book. This guy here saved you from death, because two Enochs wanted to kill you. And he says, well, what have we done for that man? And just at that moment, guess who walks in? Mr. Haman. And Haman comes in, and before he can get a word out of his mouth, the king says, hey, Haman, what should be done for the man that has saved my life? Haman was so messed up, he thought it was him. So he started pontificating. Oh, he should ride on a horse, and he should do it. And you should just honor him with everything. Give him everything. He's just absolutely wonderful. Thank you very much. No. And in the middle of it, the king says, well, hallelujah, that's a good plan. Let's just do that to Mordecai. And you do it, Haman. And Haman had to lead him. And then they had lunch. And at that point, the king said to his wife, queen, ask, come on, ask what shall be done for you. And at that moment, she became a great big ask kind of a person because she did what corporations do. They call it the big ask, where they go get venture capital. They go get money for the next thing. She just let it out. She says, okay, my people are going to be killed on this date, and I'm one of them, and I need them to be saved. And this man here wants to kill them. Everything turned. The king said, Haman, I killed them. And the king got up and stormed out of the room. And Haman just started groveling before her. And as he was groveling, the king came back in and says, and now you're trying to mess with my wife. I mean, the crazy king. And that was it. The eunuchs put a thing over his head. They took him and hung him on his own gallows. And the kingdom was saved. And during the whole thing, God was doing background kind of moves. He was making a king not sleep. He was creating two Enochs. He didn't create that, but he had it reported through Mordecai. All I'm here to say, and some of you are going, this is a spaghetti sermon. We have been everywhere. We have gone through there. We have no idea. We don't know what to call them. We're going to call them Mordecai. We just have no clue where you've gone today, sir. Thank you. But I'm here to tell you something. As a church, God wants us to be a church that asks because it shall be given. Seek and we shall find. Knock and the doors shall be opened in our lives. So this morning, I ask you the question. What is your ask before the Lord? Because as I'm speaking now, and in a moment we're going to bow heads and we're going to be done quickly. And by the way, tonight we're going to gather as a church and there will be different people that come. But I want you to know I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray over your kids tonight. I'm going to declare that what's on me is on them. And we're going to take apart what happened to Jesus at 12. It's a regular service. But this would be the night to have your kids in the house. Because I'm going to declare things over their lives. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you that in your word you've said, ask and it shall be given through your Son. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. Lord, there are people here this morning that are desperate, in desperate need of an open door. Open doors in relationships. Open doors in the area of work, career, calling. Lord, your word, by asking us to ask, reveals our motive, it reveals our heart, it reveals the measure of our lives, and reveals our mission. As our heads are bowed this morning, do you know that the Lord would say to you today, ask. Ask me. Ask me and I will save you. I know there's somebody here today that would say, that's me. Pastor Greg, that's me. I need to ask Christ into my life. I just need to open up to Jesus. And the Bible says if we confess with our mouth and believe with our heart, we shall be saved. Who here today feels the Holy Spirit tugging on your heart? I remember it happened to me when I was 6. And my arm just shot up because somebody said, "Do you want to come to Christ?" And I just, I said, "I must." If the Spirit is calling you today, at the count of 3, 3 is just a point of response, I would ask you to raise your hand. And I'll see you, and we'll come into agreement. Sir, I already see your hand. I only say 3 as a point of response, so here we go. 1, 2, 3. Just raise your hand throughout this congregation. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Now, if you've got your hand up, please don't be offended. I know you're not. Some of you are raising your hand to rededicate your life to Christ. I know that. Some of you may be the very first time. But would you just come? Just come. Come and join me here. Just come. Sir, come. Because I just want to agree with you right now. Just come. Come to the Lord. Yeah. You know, this is about the Lord, and I know there are people coming to this altar right now. And everyone comes according to what the Holy Spirit is saying to them. But you know, if there's anybody else that needs to just come. Just come before the Lord. You know, I think there's good reason why Moses' tabernacle had 3 different areas in it. And of course, the most powerful areas where only God was. It was the Holy of Holies. And this church has that kind of sense in it, that the altar seems to be where God does things like he can't do anywhere else. And that could be offensive to the flesh, but it's precious to the Lord. Amen. Amen, young man. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Now, I want us all just to come into agreement with these right now. And we're going to just pray together, okay? Let's raise our hands to the Lord, everybody, if we would. And you raise your hands this direction, if you would. And I want us all to simply pray this simple prayer. Everyone join them. Here we go. Lord Jesus, I stand before your people. And I give you my life. Cleanse me of my sin. Set me free by your shed blood. Today, I ask you for salvation. I will seek you, and I will find you when I search for you with all my heart. Father, I thank you that these that have come before you today, Lord, have come because they felt compelled by the Holy Spirit. Not driven, but pulled by God, so to speak. Compelled by the Spirit of God to stand before you. And Lord, I pray that you would now take this confession and that it would become an absolute possession in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let's just stay before the Lord here. Now, I have a word for us as a congregation. If God has spoken to you today, I'm not going to have you come up, but I'm going to have you in just a moment stand up in the midst of whoever you may be around, whether it's family, friends. If God has spoken to you today about something that you need to ask him for, because I have good news. He gives the Holy Spirit, which is the greatest thing you'll ever get in any ask you make. He will give the Holy Spirit to them. And the Holy Spirit will be your door opener. He'll be the one that gets people in the right places. He'll be the one that gets Mordecai talking to the Enochs. He'll be the one who creates 2 lunches and then a big ask. He will be the one who pulls off all the stuff behind, and you will have somebody working on your behalf. And if you're here today and you there's a big giant ask in your heart before the Lord. You're saying, God, do this in my life, in my future. And if you're willing to ask with that kind of authority, he will require you seek deep. And then with confidence, knock on doors for his glory. From the A to the S to the K, I want you to stand before God right now throughout this congregation. Stand before your God. You see, when a preacher broadcasts, the Holy Spirit narrowcasts. He takes what I say to everybody, and he makes it mean something to you. And it's between you and the Lord. Father, I thank you that those who now stand before you are people that come before you, and they take your invitation to ask. Lord, they ask with a pure motive. They ask for wisdom. Wisdom. I now declare. The Bible says in James 1, if you lack wisdom, he will give you wisdom and he will upbraid it not. He will not do it grudgingly. He will give you a mouthful of wisdom. I now declare wisdom. Wisdom to fall on the house. Wisdom to fall on relationships. I was in Tim Hortons yesterday. Just continue before the Lord. I was in Tim Hortons yesterday with a family who loved the Lord, who are absolutely beside themselves by what's going on in their home with their kids. And they feel like what's happening in church doesn't seem to be happening at home, and they need wisdom. Wisdom to have a home that is healthy and kids that are honorable to their parents and so on and so forth. You know what I'm talking about. There are grandparents right now that are standing because you've got a big, giant ask in your heart for your family. But now I declare unto you, you must seek, for that is where you find. And you will know the joy of an archaeologist who, when he finds bones that have been buried for thousands and thousands, whatever, millions, whatever the case, I don't care what your theory is, he goes crazy when he finds those bones, because he's a discoverer, because he was a seeker. I now declare in the name of Jesus. I now declare on every grandparent in this room. I know there's hurting grandparents. They got extended family that are out, just not where they... I declare in Jesus' name, your big ask will become a deep seek. Your big ask of God will become a big, deep seek. And you shall find. And now I declare, doors opened. Amen. There were absolutely... irreparably shut as far as you were concerned. I declare doors opened in business, doors opened in family, doors opened in relationships, doors opened in the name of Jesus. For he who asks, it shall be given. He who seeks, finds. He who knocks, the door shall be opened. Father, we've gone a little longer than usual, probably. And Lord, I do not call that an excuse, but I simply say, Lord, be honored in this moment. Lord, we ask for our kids. We ask, Lord, that they will be everything you've called them to be. We ask that the Jesus at 12 anointing will be on every one of them. Just a few more seconds in the presence of the Lord. Seal up your ask before the Lord. You may need to write it down in a journal when you go. It may be something, maybe it's this week. You'll take time to just ask big, seek deep, and knock that the doors may be opened. Don't go knocking on doors without first seeking, because that could be a premature knock. Trust the Lord that he'll open the doors. Lunch, give me my people back. Lunch, give me my people back. Just trust the leading of the Lord that he'll pull off the chess game for his glory and your fulfillment. Come on, there's a chess game going on, and God beats every chess machine. He's the greatest chess player in the world, and he is sovereign. He can do what he wants, but he's also just, because he's just and loving, and so he never makes an unjust move. Every move that God makes is just, because he's a just God. Every move that God makes is love, because he is love. But he is a phenomenal chess player on your behalf. Ask Esther, she'll tell you. Father, I declare in Jesus' name, Shokoriabaha, we seal this in the name of Jesus. Pastor Greg, if you would just bring that. I want you to know that the Holy Spirit has narrowcasted this morning. The preacher's broadcasted. I just said all kinds of stuff. We all heard it, but we all heard it different based upon his love for you. Amen. How many of you are never going to look at ASK the same way again? Amen. Amen. Not because of the preacher who's kind of out there, but because you want to own those letters for your own family. Own those letters for your own family. Well, one of the reasons why my life is so turned on to the Lord is because of my early years of finding God in his word. I've written a book on it called Bedroom Bible College. I would encourage parents. It's called a table tool. You may eat your food at the table, but it's time to eat the food of God's word at the table. For Jesus says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. It comes with other materials for parents on how to help your kids read the Word of God before 12 years of age. It's called God Word Art. And here is my coloring book that I just came out with. And I'm not even an artist, but I love my coloring book. That's my own work, pure Bible study. Bible study. It's a covert way of getting your kids into the Word. They'll be coloring as you converse and share the Word of God. So these are available along the back. Is there a parent in the house that says, I want that coloring book? I didn't see one. I don't know who it is. Sir, you're waving your arm. Then you get the book, you see, because you're kind of like a fast asker. So you receive this. Come on up and get it if you will. I want to, come to the altar. Is there a parent in the house that says, I'm going to help my kid understand God's word before the age of 12? Sir, right there, come and get your book. Amen. Comes with a poster. It's called The Word on the Wall, because you got to get this word on the wall in your family's bedroom, in your kid's bedroom, and help them memorize and meditate upon Scripture. Amen. I declare in Jesus' name, you are a warrior, sir. You are a warrior and a grandparent warrior, and you're a warrior too. I declare it, because our kids are arrows. We're warriors. And if you want your kids to hit their purpose, you need them to get closer to your heart before they ever leave your home. I speak it on your families. In Jesus' name. Who wants an I Must wristband? Is there an I Must man in the house? You're right there, young man. You're on the front row, bro. God bless you. We have t-shirts, because what you believe with your heart, you confess with your t-shirt. Amen. Come on now. People wear this stuff. You want that one, sir? Well, then you're going to get that one, because you just had the nerve to ask. Shatanamakariyabaha. The Lord is in the house. The Lord has been here today. And frankly, folks, I'm going to tell you, make it a point, if you can, to be here tonight, because I'm going to say your kids' names, and I'm going to declare the Spirit of God at 12 on them. I'm bringing a message for us as a congregation, but there will be an edge to it where I get to speak over your kids at the end of the service. And it won't be long, because it doesn't have to be everlasting to be eternal. It will be good. Has it been good to be in the house of the Lord today? Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah, Lord! Hallelujah! We are going to ask you, Lord. We're going to ask you, oh God. And we will seek you and we will find you. And we will knock on doors and they will open. In the name of Jesus, we declare these words. I look forward to meeting any of you at the back. Please come and get your table tools so that you can help your family during the middle of the week. Because what happens on Sunday needs to happen on Wednesday at your table. I'm going to turn it over now to Pastor, or do I just, hold on, folks, do I just say goodbye? Congregation, see you later.